First of all, I'd like to thank Alex and SLA and all the divisions participating in today's event for asking me to speak. It's an honor to be here. I'm hoping to provide some insight into marketing essentials for information professionals, things that I've picked up over the last 15 years of my career in marketing. Alex gave you my background information already. What I wanted to tell you is how I got into marketing, why I love marketing, and that basically comes down to growing up. I did not want to be a marketing person. That was not my life's goal. I wanted to be an artist. I went to art school, and I didn't like being poor. So I wanted insurance, and I got a job, and I started working for a publishing company. Some of you may remember Thompson Publishing Group, the Blue Binders. I managed their FDA library of publications for several years, and have been marketing pharmaceutical information and pharmaceutical information services ever since. The thing I love the most about marketing is that every day presents new challenges, new opportunities for learning, for growing. It's not static in any way whatsoever, and I'm hoping I can impart some of that enthusiasm to you and maybe change your opinion about marketing. First, I wanted to start by saying that you should forget everything that you've ever heard about marketing. Most of what people hear about marketing is through the mainstream press, and oftentimes it's very negative. It's you know, children recognizing the McDonald's arches before they can read, etc. I think of marketing, you can substitute the word communication. It's simply the process of connecting people with valuable products and or services, things that they want and need in order to live their lives better. And there are different types of marketing, the most common being business to consumer. We're exposed to that all the time. And business to business marketing, well, what we're here to talk about today is really, I think I might have made up this term, peer-to-peer marketing. That as information professionals, particularly in the special library setting, whether within an organization or a business or a government agency, that you're really marketing to your peers. And the way that those things are differentiated, whereas in business consumer marketing, we're talking about local, national, or global brands competing for consumer market share or business. They're often focused on brand awareness, market dominance, leadership, price, and many times it skews people's ideas of marketing towards logos and taglines and things that really don't mean a lot in business-to-business or peer-to-peer marketing. In business-to-business marketing, which is what, of course, I do and most of the other vendors selling to you as information professionals do, is we try to sell products and services to businesses and other organizations. And our focus, our role as marketers there, is on generating sales, differentiating our products and services in the mind of our target audiences, buyers and users, and decision makers. It's a complex challenge. It's an interesting challenge. It focuses on messaging, positioning, explaining why our products and features are superior to those next to us. Finally, in peer-to-peer marketing, you're inside the company. You have a distinct advantage in that you have instant credibility with your peers. You have little or no competition within the company. No permission is required most of the time to market your products and services. There's no sales cycle. The sales cycle in my business can be 6 months, a year, 2 years to bring in a new client. you're not struggling against these steep obstacles. You're also seen as adding value, and you can leverage other influencers within the company. And I'm going to get back to influencers later in the presentation, but I wanted to sort of key up that term here at the beginning because I think it's an important term in peer-to-peer marketing and something that you're going to want to keep in mind as we go through this, how other people can help you achieve your objectives. So as a marketer, a lot of times people, particularly information professionals, come to me or come to Infodesk and they ask us for help to educate their users and raise awareness or raise the profile of the library. Generally or specifically, they're interested in driving usage of a product or a service or an information resource, one that may be underused. Or they're interested in launching a new product or service. Certainly when we introduce Infodesk into a company, we need to help companies launch it, raise awareness, get people using it, promote training. Another thing that I get asked about a lot is, particularly with regard to information, how to demonstrate value and show ROI. And this is a tricky, complicated, and somewhat unscientific question to answer, but I'm going to do my best in this presentation to answer that question. Finally, we get around to laying some of the underlying fears for, you know, how do you sustain the resources that you have as an information professional and possibly garner more for your department, get more people, get more money. Lastly, at the personal level, the finite challenge of how do I get promoted? How do I advance in my career? How do I find a new job either inside my organization or at a new organization? And I'm going to touch on that at the very end. So I've basically broken this presentation out into three parts. The first section focuses on content or information marketing and talking in big, broad strokes about the challenge of marketing content. As I said earlier, I've been marketing content in a business-to-business capacity since late 1990s. So I've seen how that works, and I've watched the usage patterns shift and change over the last decade and a half, and I've watched what's happened with technology and the way that consumers consume information. I've personally watched the demise of the publishing industry of the newspaper industry, as we knew it for many, many decades. So there's that section. Then there's information services. How do you market information services? How do you market products? How do you launch a new service, raise the profile of information services? And then lastly, tied into all of the other sections is demonstrating value and showing ROI, and thereby making yourself marketable and desirable to the outside world. Before we get started, one thing that I always do with anybody that I'm working with is they come to me and oftentimes they say, we want to do a marketing campaign. Sean, tell us how to do a successful marketing campaign. And the first thing I ask them is, what are you trying to accomplish? And a lot of times I'll get an answer like, we want more people to use the library. Well, that's not really a very clear or specific goal. So what I like to do is I like to walk them through what exactly does that mean, what are you trying to accomplish, and what would sensational success look like. You know, if we had lines out the door of the library, or if we were able to triple our usage rates, or if we were able to hire 3 more employees, or if we were able to get a 10% increase in our budget instead of a 20% decrease. Sometimes success is simply hanging on to the job that you have. So it's up to you to define the terms of what it is that you're setting out to do, but then you have to have some sort of way of measuring that success. How are you going to measure it, and what are you going to be counting at the end of the day in order to determine if you've met your goals? Once you figured out what success looks like, then you can go about the process of reverse engineering that success. By reverse engineering success, I live in Washington, I would like to go to California. I'm going to reverse engineer that and say, what steps do I need to take in order to get there? Going all the way back to where are you going to start? I think another important thing to keep in mind for marketing, because I think this is really sort of the biggest challenge facing librarians and information professionals, is who's going to do the work. Marketing can be very time consuming. And there are many, many tiny little steps that are very detail oriented that, you know, yeah, it's true, it's just a few little emails, but somebody needs to write them, somebody needs to send them, somebody needs to track the response rates, somebody needs to answer everybody that responds to them. And thinking about that is you have to find a way to allocate time or resources to do this. And sadly, for many of us, the answer is doing it yourself. So what I'm going to try to give you during this presentation is as many concrete examples as I possibly can, and as many things that you can steal directly from me that you can use in your day-to-day work to make these things happen. So with that in mind, I want to introduce you to Sean's Guiding Principles of Marketing. If you keep this in mind, it will help inform everything that you do. Start from the assumption that everyone is distracted and no one has enough time. Your underlying goal becomes then to save them time. Everyone wants someone to come along and make their life easier. So your underlying goal needs to be helpful. Everybody wants to be understood. They want to know that you understand the challenges that they face. So to the extent that you're able to target your messaging and make it personal so that people feel like it's a person communicating with them about their needs, that they're really going to appreciate and respond a lot better to that than, dear colleague, let it be known that the library information services has these services available to you. That kind of marketing just doesn't make anybody feel good. And lastly, my point is, good work never goes out of style. As a friend of mine likes to say, Sean, good work is good work. And there's always going to be room in this world for people who are willing to roll up their sleeves and get the job done. Now, over here you have this thing that I want you to memorize. Now, if I were a really good marketer, I would have made this into an acronym, you know, APCE, APC. Doesn't really spell anything. I would have found a way to make this spell something, but you know, I just not that clever. But the challenge, whether you're creating a poster, whether you're doing an email, whether you're organizing an event, whether you're doing a launch, whether you're doing an awareness campaign, you need to get their attention. You need to persuade them. You need a concrete call to action that is going to inspire people to take an action that is going to get you the results that you want. And then you need to spend time evaluating the results and figuring out what worked, what didn't, and what you need to do to make it work better next time. In marketing, it's often a game of failing forward or falling forward, that you're marketing is not for perfectionists. If you're a perfectionist, marketing is going to drive you crazy. So, quickly, moving on into the first marketing challenge, the challenge of marketing content generally. Now, as I said, working in the publishing industry, we used to tote the value of the publications that we sold, and we would use words like current awareness, exclusivity, expertise, timeliness, insight and analysis. We'd talk about the frequency, and we would talk about how it was going to enhance decision making. Recently, I've been toying with a number of analogies in my head to talk about the real value of information. And sometimes I think about it like an ocean of water. Information is not a finite thing. It's something that is fluid and is constantly evolving and changing, a lot like the ocean. But what people want when they're looking for information is they want a glass of water or a gallon of water or a pint of water or a bottle of water, but they certainly don't want an ocean full of water. So another way to look at it is like information is like cornflakes. One bowl of cornflakes is good, but thousands of bowls of cornflakes would not be a good thing to have. Even a dozen boxes of cornflakes would be overkill. But as publishers and as information professionals, we tend to think of information in the aggregate. We tend to think of it in how does it benefit the organization as a whole? What is the cost of it? How much of it is there? How many sources are there? And what that doesn't get to is what the real value of information is to individuals. Now, I always tell this story, so forgive me if you've heard it before, but it's the story of Time Magazine. When Henry Luce and his partner started Time Magazine, they simply gathered the newspapers from around the country and rewrote the most important and interesting news stories of the week. It sounds simple enough, but no one had done it before them. So what I'm suggesting with this analogy is that when you're looking to create measurable value from your information assets, that what you're really looking to do is to provide a manageable amount of information in a timely fashion that creates greater peace of mind for your information users. What if I'm the head of regulatory affairs, what I want from the library is enough information to make sure that I'm informed about all of the information that I need to know. I want an insurance policy, something that tells me that I'm not going to be caught unawares, that I'm not going to be called on the carpet by my supervisor and asked, why didn't you know about this? Why didn't you know about this failure within our company, failure within another company, action taken by the FDA, etc.? So as the information professionals, you are the experts, and you're going to hear me say this over and over again on the call. You are the experts on your business. You are the experts on the sources of information. You are the experts on all of this stuff. So what I'm suggesting is that you become the Time Magazine at your own company, that you act as editor-in-chief of Time Magazine for whatever business it is that you're in, and that you seek to provide the information that your colleagues are going to need. And what I'm suggesting here is that you begin with some sort of information audit. I provided some information on how to do an information audit later on, but generally I would just start by going to one of your major information user groups, like regulatory affairs, like sales and marketing, or pharmacovigilance, or what have you, and asking their head, how can I help you? You know, this does not need to be a super formal process. Start small, work your way up. Once you've branched out, and don't try to do the whole company at once. You know, start with one group at a time. You can start, of course, with a general newsletter. So get help from some people that you trust within the company. and then work on summarizing the facts and linking to a source. One thing I want to point out here is that facts are not copyrightable, just the expression that's used to create them, the words themselves. So publish the news in an email, briefing, or alert. And I'm going to give you more specific information on all of these points later on. For example, we published a 18-page guide called The New Rules of Custom Newsletters and Custom Executive Briefings, how to create amazing, not meh, newsletters, briefings, news alerts, briefings, and newsletters for your organization. The link is right here. Feel free to download this right now. This is a very, very useful and informative guide that will help you create better corporate communications, marketing, and competitive intelligence, media monitoring, and so forth. This is one of the concrete examples that I have to offer. The next is, a few weeks ago, my former colleague Margaret Basket, along with librarians from Cubist and Astellas, did a fantastic presentation called Collecting, Storing, and Maximizing Biomedical Information Resources, which you can watch going to the first link here. Or during that presentation, Margaret Basket provided an actual scientific information audit that she and I conducted when we worked at QOSA. This is, you know, probably $5,000 worth of consultant work right here. So by all means, take advantage of both of these resources, because they're really going to help you create a plan for, I see somebody's already downloaded, thank you very much, create a plan for creating a strategy around marketing content within your organization. So I'm going to move on to marketing challenge number two, which is, how do you market your information services? How do you market your department? How do you make sure that resources are getting used to capacity? And what I'm going to talk about is push versus pull marketing, branding, personalization, calls to action, influencers, launching a new product or service, launching an awareness campaign, and email marketing at the end. First of all, before I go there, a word about push versus pull marketing. Push marketing is essentially what we're all familiar with email marketing, that people are trying to push a product or service through the distribution channels to the end users, versus pull marketing, which relies on the end user to pull the product or service through the distribution channel. In other words, you go to the supermarket and you ask them to please stock your favorite brand of hummus because they don't have it. There would be pull marketing. The manufacturer is not trying to push it through the distribution channel, but relying on you to pull it through. That's sort of the build it and they will come philosophy from Field of Dreams. And in practical marketing terms, that no longer works. People have a lot of demands for their time and for their interest. On any given day, I get over 300 emails to my three different email accounts, and most of them do not get read by me. What I do is I read who the sender is and what the tagline is, and if I don't feel like that demands immediate attention from me, chances are it gets deleted. So I really don't respond well to emails that say, how much do you know about X, Y, or Z? Test your knowledge. Lord, I don't want to spend my time testing my knowledge. I've got better things to do. So let's talk about branding for a minute. A lot of times I have conversations with people about branding, and their knowledge of branding comes largely from reading USA Today or the New York Times. where they're continually reading about Nike's brand strategy or Coca-Cola's brand strategy or Facebook's brand strategy. And I would like to disabuse everybody on this call of the importance of branding in peer-to-peer marketing or even business-to-business marketing. The company I work for is not building on brand, but building on the quality of the services it provides. Likewise, information professionals are not going to be building their brand based on a logo or a tagline that's catchy, clever, or cute. Chances are you're just going to be using your company logo and maybe giving a name to your department or newsletter that you're creating. So I wouldn't worry too much about branding. I would keep the brand strategy simple, recognizable, friendly, and accessible. And I like things like oncology notes or top picks or breaking news. They're very clear. They're very straightforward. But what you want to avoid doing when you send out your marketing is writing things like library newsletter number 27, 28, 29. That really doesn't inspire anybody to open anything. That inspires people to hit the delete button. The other thing that I would like to suggest is let the content itself do the marketing for you. When I worked at FTC Reports, every time that we printed an article that had Pfizer in the headline, it got over 1,200 clicks. Don't be afraid to leverage the power of brand names, whether they're your own product brand names, whether your competitor brand names. What is company XYZ up to? Find out here. Did drug X, Y, or Z fail? People like to read about failures, so don't shy away from publishing big flops done by your competitors. Be careful about publishing your own. Next, make it personal. Don't sign library services at the end of the thing. Don't sign it library. Don't make it from the library. Make it from a person within the library. This is very important when it comes to making sure that senior management knows that you're actually people. This goes a long way to hanging on to your job. I don't like getting emails from just a company name. I would prefer rather than getting an email from Infodesk that I get an email from Sean Smith. It means more to me to know that it's not coming from info at Infodesk, it's coming from a person at Infodesk. Also, wherever possible, don't use dear colleague, use dear Susan, dear Sean, dear Alex. And there are simple ways to achieve this. Consider adding a photo of you or your team or your library so that people have a place or faces attached to the personalities that they're connecting with. Avoid using jargon and acronyms either in subject lines or in your communications. Try to use plain English. And for everybody's benefit, keep it short and to the point. On that note, try to include a call to action within the first paragraph of the email or communication. In almost every instance, people click on the first link that is provided to them. That ought to take them where they want to go. Don't try to boil the ocean in your communications. Don't try to tell them every single service or product that you have to offer. You will only lose people. Make it easy to respond to any offer that you put out there. One response mechanism is click here to learn more. Learn more is not a strong call to action, and what I'm talking about here is calls to action. Every email as if we go back to the idea of attention, persuasion, call to action, should drive a person to a single choice. So if I want you to register for my webinar, why would I be talking about other things in the webinar? I'm going to talk about the webinar, the benefits of attending the webinar, and then I'm going to urge you to sign up now. Try to get them to take the action at the time that you're asking them to take the action and make it easy for them. If you're not using landing pages and you're not going very high tech, all you need to do is write, just reply yes to this email or accept in the subject line and I will take care of the rest. Another response is no thanks, and no thanks is valuable information. It's valuable information for me, and let me just put it out there. Don't be afraid to tell me no thanks, Sean, because it tells me that you don't want me to waste your time going down the road of trying to sell you something that you're never going to buy from me. I would rather know that than simply get deleted over and over again. Landing pages are something that I use, something that you've seen over and over again, and they're comprised of sign-up forms, online registration. They can be things like SurveyMonkey, I'm sure you've all seen. One thing that you're probably less familiar with is MailChimp. And I'm going to be talking more about building your own email list. And so MailChimp can factor into that. So make a note of MailChimp mentally because I got to keep moving. Otherwise, I'm never going to be done in the next 12 minutes. Influencers, who can help you? Okay, there's this great story that I heard at a conference in Philadelphia about a pharmaceutical company that needed to move everybody to a new voicemail system. 60,000 employees in a pharmaceutical company need to be migrated to a new voicemail system. So they hired a PR agency, and the PR agency probably made, I don't know, $250,000 on this switchover. And what they did was so simple. It was a three-pronged marketing approach of sending direct messages, hey, you've got to migrate to a new voicemail system. Messages from senior management telling them, hey, you've got to migrate to a new voicemail system. And thirdly, and most importantly, they leveraged admins within departments that were influential, the people who everyone was going to go to and say, hey, Teresa, how am I supposed to use the new voicemail? If you're able to identify the people within your company that either have influence and authority or influence and persuasion, then you can ask them to send emails on your behalf. It's one thing if you send an email that says, sign up for the new newsletters from Library Services. That email is very different when it comes from the VP or the CEO or the head of the department. When the head of the department tells everyone in his department, I want you to sign up for the new oncology newsletter, they do it. And another effective way is when the person within the department who has to do all the work for them gets on your team and says, yeah, people, you need to do this because I'm tired of doing the work for you. Over here on the right, I've provided an example from the email provider that I work with. I use something called HubSpot. I love it. And what they do is they provide templates for how to write all marketing communications. It's really great. But one, some of the things that I would like to do is in talking about if you're structuring a product launch, the word new is very powerful. In business consumer marketing, it's equivalent to the word free. The word new and improved. Charmin has been new and improved since I was born. So you can make yourself new and improved anytime that you want to. You can rename or relaunch something anytime that you want to. You can reintroduce it to your audience. A word about features and benefits. I've noticed with information professionals a tendency to talk about features rather than the value of your offer. I would rather know that something is going to save me time than have it explained to me how it works. I'm talking about focusing on benefits rather than on features. And less is more. Keep your communications short, to the point, and direct them to a single action that you want them to take, whether that's to sign up, to call you, or to take some other action. Again, going back to the original idea that I covered at the beginning of the call, which is, what are you trying to accomplish? Similar to product launches, awareness campaigns, you need to define your objectives, what success looks like, how you're going to measure it, and then keep your messaging simple. This is the easiest, fastest way to do X, Y, or Z, is a strong example of benefits rather than features. Keep your focus there. To help you understand email marketing, last year I wrote Email Marketing for Librarians Made Simple. It was an article originally published in Informed Librarian Online. I am making it available to you through this call. I believe the link is on the next page, or you can email me for it. But basically, the gist of this article comes down to, you need your own opt-in list as a librarian. You should be building lists of different demographics within your company. You may work for a company that has 60 to 120,000 employees, or 5 to 10,000 employees. It doesn't really matter how big the company is. You're going to have different target audiences within the company. There are going to be people interested in oncology, people interested in depression, people interested in medical device manufacturing, etc. And you're not going to want to be communicating the same things to all of them. So the more lists that you can build and the more lists that you can manage, the more you're able to build trackable results that you can use over time. I'm going to let you download the article here and read through it on your own. It basically gives you all of the information that you need to start an opt-in list within 1 hour. You don't need any fancy technology. All you need to do is send out an email. It works better if you're working with something that allows you to track open rates and responses, because then you're able to see what works. So I recommend looking into MailChimp. You can send 10,000 emails a month for free with MailChimp. Here, quickly, is an example of the template that I was speaking about. You can use this formula right here for just about any marketing campaign that you need to do. Steal this formula when you get a copy of the slides after the call. And if you want a copy of the slides, feel free to get them from me if you don't want to wait until Tuesday the 11th to download them from the site. I'm happy to send them to anybody that emails me, sean.smith@infodesk.com. See, there's your call to action right there. So, and again, the email marketing article is available through this URL, which you can also get with the slide deck. So the last challenge that I want to get to is, and I've got 4 minutes, is marketing yourself. Back to the objectives. What is it they are trying to do? Are you marketing yourself inside of your company or outside of your company? Is your goal to keep your job, simply to keep your job, to get a raise, a promotion, to find a new job, to network? What is it that you're trying to do, and how can you best achieve that goal? From my perspective, the important component of this is demonstrating value and showing ROI. So in order to do that, you need to be willing to take on new projects. You need to be willing to raise your hand and raise your profile. You need to stay on the radar of senior management if you're trying to garner resources. You need to make sure they know who you are, they know your names, and they know what your faces look like. You do not want to be anonymous in this day and age. You want to get credit for the good work that you guys do on a daily basis. You want to form strong alliances. Go to the heads of regulatory affairs. Go to the heads of medical communications. Go to the heads of your biggest information users and make sure that when they're at the round table talking about who's going to get money, who's going to get cut, who's valuable and who isn't, that they're raising their hand on your behalf. In order to do this, you need measurable results, you need to benchmark, and you need to show ROI. How this is done is tricky, and it's not an exact science. But what it amounts to is you're going to calculate savings, you're going to show growth, and you're going to show them that time is money. Now, this is too much information to read on a slide, and I apologize for ever putting this much information on the slide. But what you can see here is a way that I go about calculating ROI on information based on the time people spend with email, the time they spend with news, the time they spend with trade press, websites, search, and company resources. We have this Wendell guy here, and we've estimated how much time he spends per week going through these resources, and then we're going to do the math. We're going to add it up, and we're going to assign a value to his time, and then we're going to calculate that out over the number of employees that are benefiting from the library resources. And then you're going to come up with this really great big number that you're going to be able to take either to your employer, to your boss, or to senior management, and you're going to be able to show them, this is how library services, information services, is positively impacting our company in terms of ROI. And even though it may not lead directly to sales, it definitely contributes to reducing lost productivity. It looks like I have a repeat slide here. I apologize for that. And that's going to go a long way to making your case. Lastly, I'm going to talk about marketing yourself outside of your company. There are a lot of tremendous opportunities within SLA to step up into leadership roles, whether within the divisions that you're involved in, to publish articles in Catlett's, Information Outlook, or other publications are continually looking for people to contribute. If you're interested in speaking, being part of a webinar, talk to me, email me immediately after the call. Network. You need to become really, really good at networking. You need to get connected to the people that work at the companies that you think you want to work at. And the best way to do that is to go through LinkedIn. You need to improve your LinkedIn profiles, and I believe somebody is doing a presentation later today on LinkedIn. Google. If you Google yourself and you can't find yourself, you have a problem on your hands. You need to raise your visibility. And finally, I'm going to just put in a plug, just keep learning new things. The more you learn, the more skills you have, the more valuable you are in the open marketplace. Unless you're planning on hanging on to the job that you have for a few more years and retiring, getting your gold watch and going home, then you really need to keep your game sharp. You really need to do everything you can to stay out there. My concluding remarks are, librarians, information professionals are really, really smart people. If I can do this, you certainly can. marketing is just many, many tiny steps that add up to achieving your goals. So keep trying new things. And here is my final call to action on this call. The first three people to friend me on LinkedIn will get a free half-hour phone consultation with me on any marketing-related question. You want to say, hey, Sean, how do I market myself better personally? You want to ask me how to launch a new thing. You want to ask me how to start an email newsletter. I will do my very best to tell you how to do that. Again, the first three new people to friend me on LinkedIn after this call will be the winners of that. It's time for Q&A. Please feel free to submit them. I hope that Alex will
So Sean, thanks for the presentation. I know I took a lot of notes and had a bunch of takeaways. As a reminder to everybody, a few things. One, slides of Sean's presentation as well as audio will be available after the presentation on the Pharma Division website, or as Sean mentioned, you can email him directly and I'm sure he can provide copies of his slides as well. As far as questions, please do send in questions via the chat window. A few questions that have come in, let me just go through them. So, yeah, certainly you've mentioned a lot of things like MailChimp and HubSpot. For the person who wants to understand more about marketing and really just learn more beyond this, do you have one or two resources that would be good reading material over Christmas?
You know, I have an absolute favorite copywriter who has published, I don't know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 ebooks. And then his name is Robert Bly or Bob Bly. And I believe his website is bly.com, B-L-Y.com. And his ebooks generally range $30 to $40 a piece, and they'll basically tell you how to market anything. And they're not going to win any Pulitzer Prizes for writing in that respect, but he's a really, really inspired, intelligent, experienced marketing professional with tons and tons of insight. Another resource that you might look into is an organization that I belong to for many years called the SIPA, which is newsletters.org, and it's the Specialized Information Publishers Association. And they have many online resources available, I believe even to non-members. So I would look at Bob Bly and I would look at SIPA.
Great. Another question that comes in from an attendee. I'm in a situation where my management is not entirely supportive of me and especially sensitive to the perception of going over their head. What are some things I can do to help market myself?
Okay. Well, that sort of falls into the category of it's better to beg for forgiveness than to ask for permission. And one of the ways, and this is really important, is to alleviate fears and not go around them, is to say, I'd like to test this. It's just a test, and it can go away at any time. So, for example, if you want to launch a new newsletter, but you know your management team is skittish, say, "I'd like to test this." And when you use the word test, that becomes it has a mollifying effect. It really works. Trust me.
Great. Another question. What are one or two things that you see a lot that info pros do or don't do that conversely they should be doing or should not be doing? As far as what are the most grievous sins, I believe, is another way to describe it as far as marketing goes for info pros.
Okay, that's easy. The first one is boring subject lines in emails. Really, really boring subject lines in emails that just scream, please delete this email. I can't say that every subject line that I've ever written in my life is going to win an award and that I'm not guilty of the same thing and that we're all not guilty of it from time to time. But if you can't make the subject line tantalizing, something that somebody is going to want to open. You know, if you're packing it full of acronyms and jargon, people are just going to be like, what? Why would I open that? You know, delete. So what I would suggest that you do instead is pack a benefit into the subject line. Learn how to faster and easier, you know? Learn how to find scientific information faster and easier. Something that the person is going to respond to and say, yes, I would like to save time downloading articles. I would like to do this faster. You know, play to their desires, not to describing the thing that's in the email that's not going to inspire anybody to open it. And likewise, don't boil the ocean. Don't say, we offer this, we offer this, we offer this, we offer this. By the time you get past the third thing, you've gotten into the area of the paradox of choice, which is when you offer too many choices, people choose nothing. Keep your emails dedicated to one single point, driving the person to one single call to action. If you've got multiple things, consider spreading it out over 5 weeks and educating them about, we do this. And next week, we do this. And next week, we also do this. Don't try to cram all of it into a single email. It just doesn't work.
Great. Thanks, Sean. I noticed as far as time that we're coming up against it. So thanks for presenting, Sean, first of all. And if anybody has any other questions, you can email Sean directly at sean.smith@infodesk.com.